Hello and welcome everyone to the Key to Licensing One Simple Idea, simplifying licensing for inventors, product developers, and idea people. If you are here looking to learn about how to get your product to market through the route of licensing, you are in the right place. Stay tuned and make sure to join the others who are on their licensing journey. Hello and welcome everyone to another InventRight podcast. I am Sylvia Pomaczak, your host for today, and we have another special guest of ours. We have a former student who has licensed his idea, and it is Mike Van Horst. So thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So I'm, again, going to let you, I pretty much just try and let all our guests do the talking and not talk as much at all. So I'm going to let you take the mic and get started with your licensing journey. I know we had just spoken a couple minutes before I started recording, and you were talking about how you initially started the process with your product, with the venture, more venturing. And then it's not until you started going to your first, like your trade show, that this other, you know, concept of licensing started to happen. So why don't you go ahead and talk a little bit about your product, when you started in the journey with, you know, coming up with the idea and what the product is and kind of how you got to licensing it.
Absolutely, be happy to. The product, by the way, is called Push and Hang. Mm-hmm. It didn't start out that way. It actually started out with a product called Level Art. And how I sort of became about that and my sort of aha moment, I've been doing real estate for quite a few years, and I always go back to my clients' homes after we closed escrow. And I've always noticed one big thing: all their furniture would be in place, everything would be in place except for their artwork and things. So they're always leaning against the wall, usually down a hallway or something like that. So I would always ask, you know, why don't you put your artwork up? It's so gorgeous. It's kind of what brings the home together. And they always look at me and go, Mike, we just never get to it. I can't find my tools. I don't want to deal with it. And every time I do it, it doesn't come out even anyway. So I just don't want to handle it at this point. So after that, from that point on, and I always was really hanging on my own artwork. I've got a lot of big collection of art myself, but I have this sort of A to Z personality. So I would change my artwork about every 6 months anyways to a different wall, different location. So I thought, you know, I'm going to sit down and think of something that's going to be easier for everybody to use to hang their artwork and their favorite pictures. And I thought, well, okay, I'm going to start out with I tried to come up with sort of another marking tool. And how I did that, I sort of made up these crazy little glasses that had lasers on them, and they actually fit on your head, and you'd point them to the wall and they would self-level out this picture and mark the holes. And then I thought, after that, after going to the store and doing a lot of my homework with what's out there in that category, there's a lot of marking tools already on the market. And I told myself, you know what? I don't need another marking tool. Why don't we go one step further? Let's put the nails in the wall for you so that somebody can simply walk up to a wall, do a little push-like motion and walk away and hang their picture. And they can do this in a matter of seconds. No more tools needed, no more help. So I said, let's try that, let's go that direction. So that's what I did. So I started whittling up this little thing in the garage, kind of like MacGyver, you know, putting something together. I found a couple of pieces of wood and a piece of metal, and I made this little gadget that sort of put a nail in the wall, somewhat like a stapler motion. Mm-hmm. And so I took that idea and I made it into a two-handled version, and something that you're actually just going to do as simple as that. You're going to walk up to a wall, push, hang, and walk away. Just that simple. It's so easy, and it literally takes about a couple of seconds.
Sorry to interrupt. At this point, were you really focused on, okay, I want to make this so I can see that it works? You know, obviously the concept in my head of I want to be able to do this where you can walk up to the wall, you know, push it in, and that, and then be able to hang your pictures. But at this time, you were making prototypes and you were making it to see that, yes, this is something that will actually work.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I started with the one simple prototype with a single version, and it sort of worked on the two handles, and it really evolved into trying to figure out different colors. If it, is it going to work correctly? Is it going to be level? And it really took about 8 prototypes later until I really came up with the version that everybody sees today. And it it seems to work really well and really simply tool to go up and do that. So then what I did was I just started figuring out, okay, how am I going to get it out there? You know, and like most of us, when you're kind of a first-time inventor or entrepreneur, you know, I've come up with a lot of products in the past, but never actually decided to bring one to market. I was always one of those guys that threw it on the shelf and I'll look for the next one or I'll figure it out. So
yeah.
Finally took this one and said, let's go with it. The thing about that is you can't just go knock on your neighbor's door because they have this sort of deer in the headlights. You know, they don't really know how to answer your question when you say, can you help me with you know, my invention? Do you know anybody I can talk to and things like that? So I kind of did it on my own. I just sort of got out there, went on the internet, kind of looked around, really couldn't find anything that would help me that much. So I started with my very first trade show, and I went to it. So I set up at the National Hardware Show in Las Vegas. I had a little booth. They had an inventor section there for inventors. So I set it up, and I thought, oh gosh, I'm going to get like all these people, you know, and all these buyers and everything coming by. And in reality, it wasn't really like that. You know, it was more people coming up that wanted to help you with manufacturing. And I thought, oh gosh, you know, I wonder if I'm at the wrong show or whatever. So I signed up for this pitch competition at the show. And I said, okay, I'm going to try this. So it's set up on, you know, pitch competitions are set up basically like a Shark Tank sort of arena where you go in front of these panels and it's usually somebody up big in the industry and you pitch your product and you mm-hmm. get a nice little feedback on it when you're done. So I pitched my product, and of all things, I won that particular competition the very first time I went out and pitched my product. Everybody was so excited about how it worked, how simple it was, because it literally was only about 2 seconds. You had to look real fast, and so I would do it a couple times because everybody goes, oh my gosh, let me see that again. And then right after that pitch competition, I had gotten picked up by a DRTV company, which is more of an as seen on TV type company. They wanted my product. They met me after the show. Then we had a conversation a couple of weeks later, and I sent them one of my simple prototypes, and they ran with it. So they came up with what they call their own licensing agreement, which I knew nothing about a licensing agreement at that time.
Okay. Were you working on this all by yourself? Did you have any like one helping you out? Were you partnering with anybody? Or were you just kind of figuring it out as you go along?
Yes, great question. Yeah, I was figuring it out basically as I went along. And I got to tell you, if one of the biggest suggestions I can give anybody is don't ever do this alone at all. Ask as many questions as you can. Get help from anybody that you can. And team up with somebody if you need to be. Maybe another inventor and entrepreneur, you know. Which really works out great because you both kind of work off each other. You keep each other accountable, but definitely don't try to take this on yourself. It is so much. It is so much to do, and you'll be out there spending money that you don't need to spend money on. You'll be spending so much time on things that you don't need to spend money on. Oh gosh, if I could have all that back and do it over again.
Yeah.
Now that I'm on my third and fourth product, I would certainly have done that. You know, mm-hmm. and so. Anyways, I already had this sort of license agreement in hand, so I didn't know anything about it. So I got online and I started looking around, and that's when I found InventRight, this company, and I had nothing. I didn't know who InventRight was and all these people. I was just reading some of the comments. And
how dare you, Mike? How dare you not know who you were?
Exactly. I know. It was like, oh my gosh. I mean, you guys have been around for so long, and there were so many positive comments. I'm thinking, well, geez, I don't know how to use Google because I couldn't find you or whatever. So I called and had my first appointment with Steven, and he talked to me and sent me right over. I told him I had a license agreement in hand. I don't know anything about it. He sent me right through to one of your coworkers that was there, and we went over it, and very, very helpful, you know, told me about all the key points, what I need to really ask for as an inventor to try and definitely get things on my side. And so we went back and forth on that and sent the license agreement back, and all said and done, the DRTV company did not work out because they couldn't get a price point down low enough for my product. And so many people get all excited about, you know, DRTV, AsTV, how can I get on Shark Tank?
Right.
And, you know, after going through it, you know, the first thing that I didn't know, and most people don't know, is, you know, those companies are all about 4 and 5 times factor as far as cost value on the product and what it takes to get it on TV. So, and that's the first thing now after going through all this, people, they ask me, you know, they're thinking about something, you know, the first question I ask them is, you know, what are you going to really kind of sell this for retail? What are you thinking about what this thing is going to be worth? And they give me a number and I says, okay, can you bring it down to this? So a $20 item on TV, you better be able to manufacture for $4, because that's really what they're looking for. And
yeah, that's what they need as far as cost for manufacturing, right?
Absolutely. And it's so hard to do that, you know, especially someone like myself that was trying to do it on my own. You know, you don't have the connections, you don't know who to talk to. And so once again, you're spinning your wheels, you're spending all this money, you're going back and forth with people you don't know. You know, everybody, as a new entrepreneur or inventor, you know, they kind of all want to help in a bad way. You know, they tell you all these things they're going to do for you.
Yes.
And they take all your money.
Yes.
And they don't really do anything for you.
Yes.
And you're just going, oh my gosh, what just happened here? You know?
That's right.
And so, moving on beyond that. So what happened was, after they dropped the licensing agreement, I went back and started doing trade shows again. And so I started entering all these competitions. You know, the great thing about an inventor at a trade show, and I encourage everybody to get out there and do them, is they have all these different sort of inventor forums. They have inventor pavilions set up especially for new inventors and new products. The booths are really less expensive than the big booths. You get just as much traffic that goes through there because everybody wants to see what's coming out new and wants to meet the new inventor. And then you get to get involved in pitch competitions. And I encourage everybody to get in front of as many pitch competitions as you have. Get up there and talk. It's gonna really teach you how to get up and talk to a bunch of people without getting nervous.
Yeah.
And who best to talk about your product than yourself, because you invented it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it works so well for you. So after a few of those trade shows, and I had a really good working prototype, and I thought, okay, now I'm gonna try Kickstarter. Well, here we go again.
Oh no. Now, so at now this time, at this time, are you a student of ours or no?
Not really. I became a student right after this. So
okay, this was the final. This was the last straw.
This is the last straw. So here I am. I'm going to try crowdfunding. I go, okay, boy, that's kind of a big deal. Boy, you just throw something out there. 30 days later, you get, you throw it out there. You're looking for $1,000, and you're going to get $100,000. And you think,
right,
oh gosh, that's going to be great. Well, the thing about crowdfunding is, what I found out really fast after I went through my first 30 day on Kickstarter, which I came really short of my goal, is that Kickstarter is only good is how much money you're willing to spend ahead of time to convert your so-called backers to go on there and back your product on Kickstarter. So
correct.
There's a whole bunch of things that are involved in that. And once again, I would say stay away from, crowdfunding platforms are great for certain aspects of certain products, but in the majority of us, again, you know, let's just say you go on there and you do hit your goal. Okay, now what? Now you've got to supply your backers with your product.
That's
so
right.
Now, do you have the means to do that? Can you get it on time? Do you have the capital to spend to get that product here, to get it out to your... It's just this just ongoing, never-ending road of spending money and spending time once again to get it out there. So then I came back. So then I called back, and I got back to InventRight. Here we go. I mean, you know, such a simple process.
Yeah.
If I would have did this at the beginning. So I got back on there and started talking to Steven again, and we got me on the program. So sort of got me on a fast track program, because the first time around, number one, I already had my prototype, I already had basically my product end result out there. I went through a license agreement halfway one time. So we sort of went on a fast track program. and kind of started me off with sort of the step which involves a sell sheet and those types of things, which I never had. I had this sort of working prototype, but I never thought about, you know, putting together a simple sell sheet with a picture and a nice description of the product and getting it out to different manufacturers and different people involved in the business. So I put a nice sell sheet together, and you guys showed, you know, how to embed a video on there and get that sell sheet out to as many people as possible in the particular category that you're in. So then from there, I started going to see, I'm doing everything a little bit in reverse because I really went fast forward at the beginning. So yeah. I backed myself up, and now I'm going to stores. I'm seeing what's on the shelf. I'm seeing, you know, what my competition was, even looked on boxes to get different addresses and things like that. And very, very simple, easy ways that you can contact different companies and send them sell sheets and give them a really quick little pitch about your products. So that's what I started doing for literally weeks at a time, going through the InventRight process, and got a hard nose. Just no. You're getting all frustrated. You know, I was spending out of pocket at all these trade shows on my own and things like that. And then I got the phone call of one yes. And let me tell you, when you get that first yes, you're just like, oh my gosh, it's like all this weight off your shoulders.
Yeah.
You're all excited. You finally get to talk to somebody that's kind of on your level and really understands your product. And, you know, when I got a hold of this company, what was nice about my license, my very first license agreement with this particular company, it's one of the largest hardware companies in the world for hanging pictures on the wall. And I sat with him, I went down and we went over my product, and he said, Mike, I don't want a 15 to 20 page license agreement. I do things on a handshake more or less, and I don't want to get all the attorneys involved. So he said, you bring me back something. So what I did, I went home and again, on InventRight, learned a little more about licensing and writing your own license agreement. Mm-hmm. And I put a three-page, I cut the normal license agreement down that I had from my DRTV company proposal down to 3.5 pages. And I wrote a lot of different things that were really positive for the inventor. So I sent it back to him, and he looked it over. And I got to tell you, he said, absolutely. So they agreed upon it right on the spot. And I wrote in there my own royalties and things for me. And how that was all set up. I got a little bit more royalty than normal, mm-hmm. Which was really fantastic. And everything was sort of geared, which was amazing, which doesn't happen a lot, which is really geared toward the inventor instead of the company that you're, you know, saying and getting the license agreement from. So that worked out really well. And that's the very first moment that it stopped all of that. What I say, stop the bleeding. You're not spending money anymore.
Yeah.
Time and effort anymore. They took my product. Just to let you know, when I started, I first started contacting different companies in the United States that were too expensive. So I started with China for manufacturers. I got my price point down. They beat it by over 60% below what I could get it down to.
Wow.
So we got the product made by their people in China. We make half of the product here in the States, but got it landed, boxed and everything for such an incredible price. And they spent all the money doing that themselves.
That's incredible.
And, finished up the tooling, finished up the graphics. We got it all boxed the way it should be, and started venturing it out there. And it still took a little while. You know, when you think sitting at home on your kitchen counter when you come up with something that, wow, I'd like to bring this thing to market or bring anything to market, you think it's going to go out there rather quickly. This has been, gosh, almost a 3-year process from zero to the retail shelves, which it is finally, is happy to say it is now. And I got, you know, it's so exciting to see that happen. But such a long process. It's a long journey to get it to that point. Mm-hmm. Getting patents alone is a very, very long journey. Even getting a trademark. Mm-hmm. Even patents, you know, I learned so much from your Smart IP on InventRhyme once again. I went back and since then I've written 6 different PPAs. Am I going to tell you it's fun and it's easy? No.
No. I wouldn't tell you that either.
The first one is a little rough, but I got to tell you, after you get that first one, everything sort of clicks, and you just sort of take the time and write each one out and send it through. And I tell you, it's wonderful. Again, saving so much money from contacting an attorney and going through it yourself. You know, by going through your program and writing your own PPAs, it just was amazing how much it saved. And happy to say, I do have almost 3 years to the date because of the patent offices are so far behind in that respect.
Yeah.
I do have my full design patent and 2 different utility patents on my product, which is very, very nice. I mean, it's just kind of exciting to have. You know, it was so crazy, and I'll tell you, when I went through the patent process, and again, going back to my product, as far as going up to the wall and hanging a picture in less than 2 seconds, my product puts 2 nails in the wall all at the same time in less than 1 second, and you're going to be able to walk away and enjoy what you've just done. But when you think of all technology today, we are still hanging a picture with a hammer in one hand and a nail and doing it one at a time. Clear back to, who knows, probably cavemen, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And when I ran my patents worldwide, what was really intriguing to me was nobody in history to this day has ever put the nails in the wall. And it really was kind of mind-boggling to think of that. Nobody out of all these things has ever put the nail in the wall, because we're thinking so simply the way that we've always done it with a nail and a hammer, you know?
Right.
And so that's what's so exciting about it, to get my own patents and to have that locked in as a dual nailer is really exciting. I got to tell you, it's really kind of unbelievable, you know?
What's interesting is, sorry to interrupt. So
yeah,
when you licensed this, you didn't have the patents in hand, correct? A lot of people think that they have to wait, like file the patents and then wait for them to be granted and then try and go and license or sell the patent or the product. But that's not the case. That's not the case, is it?
No, it's not. And for a couple of different reasons, you know, we always talk about first to market, you know, and when you come up with something, and if you think it's really viable and you think it's going to really change the way that, you know, we're doing something today, you know, stick with it. And sooner or later, you're going to get that thing out there. But anything could happen in that time lapse between you even write a PPA. And like I say, the patent offices it's almost a 3-year process to get the actual piece of paper in hand. Well, between 0 to 3 years, anything can happen to your product, and you want to be first to market. You want to get it out there,
yeah.
Let's get it known and get it up and running. Because your product, maybe it could fail. Maybe it runs its course in 2 years. Maybe it's lifetime. By the time you get that piece of paper, anything could happen in 3 years.
Correct. Absolutely.
Just like you said, so if you do not wait, get things rolling as quickly as possible and worry about getting that patent. And so many people that you'll find that I found out, even when you're dealing with different companies, some of them, you don't even need a patent. That's not even their main concern.
Correct. Yeah. Main concern.
So that's kind of the gist of the whole patent thing. You know, it's nice to have it, yes, but in many cases, you absolutely don't even need one. You know, the biggest thing you could do is, you know, get a simple PPA provisional patent going for, you know, covers you for 1 full year. I think it's $65 to $70 is what it costs. So it's so inexpensive just to do something like that, mm-hmm. to get your first date down on paper. So that's really all you need at that point to get going, you know.
Absolutely. And I think that also, like, you almost did a reverse. There's so much going on, because you didn't know anything. You were pretty much self-learning how to get a product on the market. And so didn't necessarily know, am I venturing? Am I licensing? What am I doing here? You're doing this and trying to figure it all out on your own. So what you did was take more of a venture-based business model. You're making the prototypes. You're making sure it works. You're going and paying for trade shows and everything else that you have to pay for along the way. And then you all of a sudden you get this thing called the licensing agreement, you know, and then you reach out for some help on it, but the licensing part ends up obviously falling through with the DRTV company. And then, you know, you still end up licensing it by kind of going backwards, right? So you ventured it first, then you got a licensing agreement, and so you learned the process of licensing, like, after the fact, even though you had done all these things and you even got a licensing agreement, but you learned the process and then applying the process of the steps, like the sell sheet and the PPA, almost where how we teach it obviously is doing that at the beginning, but not knowing that that's what you're supposed to be doing at the beginning. You know, most people and a lot of people don't know. You end up doing a little bit, kind of like going backwards in the steps in order to go forwards in the steps. Does that make sense?
No, it does, and that's exactly what I did. And I really want to convey that I probably wouldn't ever do that again. And I, you know, for me, you know, I was just like everybody else. I was the excited guy that had something on paper, and I'm a little more mechanically inclined than maybe some people. And so I was able to build my own prototype in less than a day and go through all this, and I was all excited to get it out there. But boy, I can't stress enough to, take a step back, really give some thought about what you're doing. Not only is your product really viable, don't go out there and just spend all this money because you think you have a great idea and maybe your siblings think you do and friends and things like that. Make sure that it's really going to make a change out there. Is it going to sell to the masses? Is it something that's truly going to make a difference? And then, you know, get yourself educated, you know, go online, certainly look for places like InventRight that are going to go through this, you know, process of you understanding each step that it takes. And it's such an easy process to do once you start learning about it. Stephen's book is so easy to read. It's hard to put down, and you learn so much. And I got to tell you, you're going to save so much money and so much time just by doing something like that.
Yeah.
You know, just don't try not to, you know, in so many companies, again, like the patent, they don't even need a prototype. I mean, you know, there's been so many things that have been brought to life, you know, on a sketch or an idea, you know, versus going out there and thinking that you have to spend money, you have to have a working prototype. Is it helpful? Yes. Do you have to have it? In a lot of cases, absolutely not.
Right.
You know, it may help you a little bit in getting a little bit better royalty rate per se if you have a couple of things in place, but don't go spending, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to think, oh, I'm going to get one more percent on my royalty rate. It's not worth it. You know, let them take it over and move on. And then it gives you so much time to concentrate on your other projects, and you don't have all this worrisome, you know, in the back of your mind going forward. So that's absolutely what I would do, you know.
And so what would you say, to wrap things up here, what would you say would be three keys, and you may have already, and you kind of already mentioned them already, but three keys to licensing, you know, three takeaways that you would want inventors, product developers, or anyone out there that has an idea that would like to see it or try and bring it to market? What would you tell them?
Well, I would say number one is believe in yourself. If you don't believe in yourself and you're getting started on this process, you're not going to be able to even believe in anything that you're doing down the road. Number two, look into something like InventRight. Get help. Do not try this on your own. Get as many people involved. Go through the course. Learn about it. It's going to help you 100 times fold in the future. And stick with your product. If you think you have a viable product that's going to make a change in somebody's life, believe in it, stick with it, and push it forward. I got to tell you, persistence is going to get you to the end and get that thing on that retail shelf. You know, don't give up. So many of us can. And I was one of those that was going to do it many a times, but don't do it. Stick with it and you'll make it. And I got to tell you, you're going to reap the benefits at the end, and you're going to be so happy that you did.
And where is your product now? Where can we purchase it?
Right now you can go for the first retail stores that is actually on the store shelves. We just actually got it there about 4 weeks ago. We're happy to say that it's in all the Ace, most of all the Ace hardware stores. You can go right to Ace. It's on all kinds of different platforms. It's with a big company called thegrommet.com, which mm-hmm. takes a lot of new products and gets it out there for inventors. And of course, it's on all kinds of things. So you can go to homedepot.com, amazon.com. You can go to all of these particular sites. And you can get one really, really quickly that way. But you can, again, if you want to go into a local Ace hardware store and pick one up immediately, you can do it that way as well. And boy, sure appreciate, all the all the people out there that have already done that and is supporting the product. It's just been absolutely wonderful and incredible.
Oh, absolutely. And as I look at the mirror that is up against my wall that I have hung up, I've been waiting for this product to come to the market, because I will be purchasing it, and because you do not understand the frustration, the level of frustration that I have hanging stuff up. And so I'm super excited that I can finally buy it and use it.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, it's so much fun to use. You won't believe it. You're gonna do it, and you're gonna figure out, gosh, what else can I find to put on the wall, you know? Mm-hmm. For anybody that is really interested in doing it, I'll give you one quick tip. It's called push and hang.
Push and hang.
You treat it just like a dual stapler. Don't be afraid of it. One quick punch-like motion, and you're going to hang that picture on the wall. And here's a great little tip as well. The end cap clips off, so you slide one of the handles off. Now you can hang anything in your house that requires one nail. And again, half a second, and you're done. Slide it back on, you're ready for two nails again. So there you go. Just that simple. I really appreciate you having me on, Sylvia.
Oh, fun. Absolutely. And are you still working on other products as well?
I am as well. I've got two. I've got a couple of kitchen gadgets that are out there right now. I've got a physical fitness, and I've also got a toy at one of the manufacturers being tested. So I'm all over the board with my.
You are an idea man. Well, keep us updated. Let us know how everything's going with your other product ideas that you're looking to license. I appreciate you taking the time to speak with us today on our podcast, being a student, believing in the process, believing in your product. And anyone who is interested in learning more about InventRight, you can check us out on our website at InventRight.com, our YouTube show, InventRight TV, and of course, tell everybody about Mike's product, the Push and Hang, and go get yourself a Push and Hang and start hanging up your pictures. Thanks so much, Mike.
Thank you again. Have a great day.
You too.
Thank you for listening to the Key to Licensing One Simple Idea, the podcast. If you haven't already, please go to Apple Podcasts, subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. You can also check out our YouTube shows, InventRight TV, with Stephen Key and Andrew Krause. Join me next week for another interview. Thank you for listening, and keep inventing.